In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin today not with a text from Scripture, but with a medieval hymn. It's got some chops to it. In fact, as I recall, in the 1943 Lutheran hymnal Order for Funerals, this was the hymn to be read or chanted while people processed to a graveside committal. The title is Media Vita in Morte Sumus, which means in the very midst of life we are in death. It goes like this. In the midst of life we are in death. From whom can we seek help? From you alone, O Lord, who by our sins are justly angered. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and merciful Savior, deliver us not into the bitterness of eternal death. Lord, you know the secrets of our hearts. Shut not your ears to our prayers, but spare us, O Lord. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and merciful Savior, deliver us not into the bitterness of eternal death. O worthy and eternal Judge, do not let the pains of death turn us away from you at our last hour. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and merciful Savior, deliver us not into the bitterness of eternal death. This is not literally the word of the Lord. You won't find this verbatim in Scripture, but it does express the truth of God's word, and for that, we say thanks be to God. It's not a really cheery hymn. It is, however, a humble confession of faith. It admits that we are sinners and that the wages of sin is death. It acknowledges that we are surrounded by death throughout our lives and that we could be taken at any time. It further says that this is just on God's part and we deserve no better because we are sinful. And then again and again it calls upon the Lord to deliver us. So it's not really cheery, but it is true. We sing this hymn soberly, but with confidence, because the Lord will deliver us from the bitter pains of death. He already has. And he's done so by bearing all of our death-deserving sins to the cross and dying in our place, suffering God's wrath so that we might be saved. And risen again, he continues to give us deliverance in his grace-filled word and sacraments. Which means that, even though it's very true that in the very midst of life we are in death, it's also true that in the very midst of death, we are in life. And life wins. Where Christ is, there is life. Eternal life. What a miracle. This is what guides our lives as Christians. We deserve only death, but Christ gives us life by his grace. We hear the reports and watch the numbers climb as more people are infected and more people succumb to the coronavirus, but we are not misled. The COVID-19 virus has not increased the likelihood that we will die. It has just introduced another way that death might come. Therefore, even as we sensibly take precautions and follow protocols, we live in Christ, as we always have. We trust that it is the Lord who preserves life, and so we seek to preserve life too, our own and others, so that we might honor the Lord and his gifts. We do not establish the value or practice of life from bureaucrats or hysterical media reports, but from the Word of God. And thus, while we take precautions against illness, we still go about the callings that God has given us to do. We live lives of daily repentance. We are especially cautious to avoid false gods, among which is the God of control. If we make control an idol and have no control, then we fall prey to fear rather than trust in God. If we make control a god and fight fear in its name, then we make our bravado into an idol and seek to impose our opinion upon others. We act in Christian love, which doesn't mean we decide we're right and expect everybody else to conform, but that we bear with others even when they're disagreeable, because Christ bears with us. We act in Christian freedom, which means that we are free to serve others and put their needs above our own. We seek to honor and cooperate with authorities as much as we possibly can, because the Lord has put them in place for our good. And where authorities overstep and interfere with the delivery of the gospel, then we might humbly disagree and humbly serve God rather than man. We act towards one another as family because Christ has made us a family. Though once we were sinful strangers and enemies, He's cleansed us and made us His holy children, brothers and sisters in Christ. We come to church not with the motive of asserting our position, virtue signaling, or even demonstrating our First Amendment rights. No, we gather in church because Christ is there, giving life to sinners. Likewise, we're not distracted from this if people come for the wrong reasons, because Christ is there, giving life to sinners. We put the best construction on our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we don't immediately jump to conclusions because we disagree with them. And knowing Christ is our life, we do not fear death. All of this is how it's supposed to be. And all of us will fail. Your saint and sinner both, and everything you do will be a mix of faithfulness and fallenness. All of us will sin, and so we deserve God's judgment and wrath. This is why, in the very midst of life, we are in death. But Christ is faithful. In the very midst of death, we are in life because Christ is in the midst of us, specifically in His means of grace. By His grace, He forgives our sins. He strengthens our faith so that we might grow and our faith be reflected more in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. By His grace, He assures us that we are His in life, in death, and forever. Because Christ is here, we can confidently say with St. Paul in Romans 14, "For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you that for the sake of Jesus, you give and sustain our lives both now and forevermore. We pray for faithful hearts, that we might joyfully receive your gifts and cling to you in life, in death, and at the resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Rejoice, my friends. The Lord is your life and your salvation, both now and forevermore. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.